I'm Abigail Galvan. Welcome to EWTN Pro-Life Weekly.
What they want is to continue the subsidies that are going to insurance companies that have plans that cover elective abortion.
Abortion in the Affordable Care Act, a major sticking point in the government shutdown. We have expert analysis.
The government should never censor the private counseling conversations of a counselor with their client.
A U.S. Supreme Court case centers on freedom of speech between therapists and their patients. What it means for parental rights.
Becoming a Catholic was the most healing thing that I did to recover from abortion.
And one woman shares how she overcame the trauma of abortion through the love of Jesus Christ.
Look, if you want to know who wants a shutdown, look at the House. Johnson had the House adjourn all this week, so they couldn't even if the Senate had come up with a solution, they couldn't vote on it.
The Democrat caucus here in town in the Senate has chosen to shut down the government over a clean, nonpartisan funding bill.
The government shutdown has begun after Congress failed to strike an agreement by the deadline of midnight on Tuesday. The Senate rejected the House-passed GOP bill to extend funding to November 20th. Without a deal, some 750,000 federal workers will be furloughed. A major sticking point of the impasse revolves around the Affordable Care Act. Democrats are demanding funding for health care subsidies that are expiring for millions of people under the Affordable Care Act, or ACA. They want to embed abortion and gender ideology into the U.S. health care system, and they want taxpayers to fund it permanently. It's a move the Republicans don't agree with. Right now, the Affordable Care Act is still funded through the end of the year. Kelsey Pritchard, the political communications director of Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, has been following what is happening on Capitol Hill. Kelsey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Kelsey, the ACA is the center of this fight. Despite the shutdown, it will be funded to the end of the year. Can you weigh in on what is happening right now?
Yeah, the ACA has really been a major sticking point between the Democrats and Republicans. And what the Democrats are demanding is, quite frankly, ridiculous. What they want is to continue the subsidies that are going to insurance companies that have plans that cover elective abortion. Even though 60% of Americans don't agree with taxpayer-funded abortion, they're trying to make that go on into the future and with no end in sight. And we're really grateful the Republicans have been standing strong on that point and as a whole on this in this whole situation.
Now, Kelsey, the Hyde Amendment is a provision that has been added to every spending bill over the last four decades, ensuring that no taxpayer dollars will directly fund abortion. How can we have the Hyde Amendment and yet still fund abortions through the ACA?
So the Democrats were really crafty when they passed Obamacare a few years ago. And a lot of people don't know this, but what they did was they created this workaround in Obamacare that essentially still allows subsidies to go to plans that fund elective abortion. They did that by creating a separate funding stream. And they even stripped the ability for us to know how many abortions these plans have paid for with the help of our money. And so there's no transparency whatsoever. And the Hyde Amendment, of course, is very important to our country. The Charlotte Lozier Institute just came out with a report yesterday on the 49th anniversary of the Hyde Amendment showing that 33,000 babies were saved just last year alone because of the Hyde Amendment. So we need that applied equally across all federal policies. And it's very important that if they continue the ACA subsidies, that they make sure that Hyde is included in that.
Now, the big, beautiful bill ended Medicaid funding to abortion providers, a big win. Yet we're still funding abortion through the ACA. How does that fight relate to this one?
Well, what we saw during our defunding efforts to stop the Medicaid funding from going to abortion businesses like Planned Parenthood in this country is that people, even people center or even some on the left, even those who call themselves pro-choice, they do not want taxpayers to have to fund abortions and have to fund abortion businesses. So just like with that fight, with this one, it's the popular thing to stop this kind of practice, to stop the American taxpayers from having to pay for elective abortions. And we think this is something that it should be a common sense principle for people. Now, thankfully, we are seeing a lot of success with the funding measure so far. We've had 42 Planned Parenthoods that have closed or will close by the end of this year. So we're hoping that Republicans stay strong. And based on our conversations with members and staff, we really believe they will, and that they're bought in and making sure that if subsidies do pass, the Hyde Amendment will be applied here.
Kelsey, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. God bless.
Pope Leo XIV has weighed in on the controversy over Chicago's Cardinal Blaise Supich's plans to honor a U.S. senator who supports legalized abortion. Supich planned to honor Democratic U.S. Senator Richard Durbin with a Lifetime Achievement Award for his work surrounding immigration policy, despite the senator's pro-abortion record. EWTN News asked the Holy Father about the controversy earlier this week.
Someone who says I'm against abortion but says I'm in favor of the death penalty is not really pro-life. So someone who says that I'm against abortion but I'm in agreement with the inhuman treatment of immigrants who are in the United States, I don't know if that's pro-life.
Pope Leo did say it is important to look at the overall work a senator has done throughout his or her career. Amid the controversy, Cardinal Supich issued a statement saying that Senator Durbin has decided to not receive the award. A new shield law will protect doctors in California who prescribe the abortion pill. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed legislation that allows doctors to anonymously mail mifepristone to patients out of state. The law not only protects doctors from out-of-state lawsuits, it also safeguards access to chemical abortion drugs, even if the Food and Drug Administration revokes its approval. The legislation took effect immediately after it was signed last Friday. On the anniversary of a UN document safeguarding women's dignity, a Vatican prelate is calling for more action to defend women's equality, all while reaffirming the Church's defense of life. Archbishop Paul Gallagher noted that the dignity of women cannot be achieved without respecting all human life, especially the fragile, unborn, and elderly. In the address, Gallagher raised concerns about the prevalence of women suffering from violence and poverty and called for access to greater health care and education. The new term of the Supreme Court has begun, and there are several cases that EWTN Pro-Life Weekly will be following. These include Childs v. Salazar, a case that touches on conversion therapy. We'll dive into that in just a few moments. We'll also be keeping an eye on Ham v. Smith, a case centering around intellectual disabilities and the death penalty. And Bao v. the United States. This case seeks to ensure that federal prisoners have the opportunity to challenge their own convictions. Turning back to the first case we mentioned, Childs v. Salazar, this case centers on the constitutionality of Colorado's ban on conversion therapy or efforts to treat issues relating to gender identity, gender roles, and sexual attraction. The case was filed by Kaylee Childs, a licensed counselor and practicing Christian who argues that the law violates her First Amendment rights to free speech and to freely exercise her religion. Alliance Defending Freedom is representing Kaylee Childs in this case. I spoke with senior counsel and director of Center for Parental Rights of ADF about the implications this case could have nationwide. Kate, Colorado has had this ban that prohibits conversion therapy on patients under 18 since 2019. The U.S. Court of Appeals upheld the ban, reasoning that the law regulates professional conduct, not free speech. What are your thoughts?
Well, the government should never censor the private counseling conversations of a counselor with their client. And they shouldn't tell clients what goals they can and cannot try to reach in counseling. But that's exactly what this ban does. Under the guise of conversion therapy, it's really telling counselors what they can talk about with minor children who are struggling with their gender identity. And these are kids who really need the help of open, private conversations that they want to be a part of with these counselors, and yet the government is keeping them from getting those.
Now, conversion therapy is controversial. How long has Kaylee Childs been offering this to her patients, and what has been the impact?
All that Kaylee Childs, our lovely counseling client, offers to her clients is voluntary private conversations in the counseling room. The government has used the term conversion therapy to try to bring up ideas of other kinds of conduct, but what we're talking about here is counseling conversations, just speech, speech that this client wants to get. And so Kaylee wants to be able to work with kids who are struggling with their identity, who want to become comfortable in their own bodies. And that's what Colorado bans. It says that if she has these conversations with these struggling kids, she has to push them towards transition rather than have open conversations that can help them realign with their biological sex, even though that's what these kids are wanting.
And Kate, can you tell us, what does this case mean for parental rights?
This case has a significant impact on parents and on kids. These are kids who are struggling mightily in our culture with their gender identity, and they want to have good information and be able to have open conversations with counselors. And their parents want to find good help for their kids. We're seeing now so many detransitioners who got just therapy and other medications pushing them towards transition. We're seeing the harms that has on these detransitioners. And so we have so many kids in our society that just want to have these open conversations, the kind that Kaylee and other counselors want to offer. And it's important for parents to be able to get that for their kids.
And can you tell us, what other implications could this case have on healthcare nationwide?
This case is about professional speech. When counselors are talking, when they're having voluntary private counseling conversations with their clients, the government shouldn't censor that. So that can become an issue in other professional contexts, but we're talking about the government not stepping in and telling clients what conversations they can have with the professionals that they hire. And that's something that should be important to all of our citizens, no matter what they think about this particular issue.
And Kate, finally, are there any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with us?
This is a case that everybody should be concerned about, that they should be watching carefully. This is about free speech, for us to be able to go to a professional and have open conversations, hear different viewpoints on something. These completely voluntary counseling conversations should be an important mechanism to help kids who are struggling. And yet the state of Colorado and so many other states in our country are trying to censor that and keep these kids from getting that help. And we're hopeful that the Supreme Court will step in and vindicate free speech here for the good of both the counselors and the kids they're trying to serve.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for taking on this very important case, and please count on our prayers for you all.
Thank you so much.
We are also following a case that is currently before the Fifth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals. The case is United States ex rel Doe v. Planned Parenthood Federation of America. The lawsuit claims that Planned Parenthood and three Texas Planned Parenthood affiliates defrauded the state's Medicaid system. The case stems from when Texas had barred the abortion giant from taking part in their Medicaid programs. Planned Parenthood sued and was able to get temporary injunctions. During that time, they continued to submit Medicaid reimbursement claims. The Fifth Circuit ruled that Texas was within its rights to draw Planned Parenthood from Medicaid. Under the False Claims Act, a federal law that holds individuals and organizations liable for defrauding the government, the money Planned Parenthood received from the government while ineligible, even though there was an injunction, must be repaid. The abortion giant could be liable for $1.8 billion. Jenny Bradley Lichter, president of the March for Life, wrote in The Hill that this is a, quote, pivotal case that could serve as the final nail in the coffin for Planned Parenthood, end quote. A public health initiative in Michigan is offering thousands of dollars to help pregnant mothers and infants in several communities across the state. The program, started by RX Kids in 2024, provides eligible pregnant mothers the opportunity to receive $1,500 a month and another $500 per month for their newborn for up to 1 year. The areas it is being implemented in include the cities of Flint and Kalamazoo, Chippewa County, and Clare County, to name a few. Since 2024, Rx Kids has given $14.7 million to moms and babies in need across the state of Michigan. Nearly 3,500 families have enrolled in the program, and more than 2,700 babies have been born with the support of Rx Kids. The program is set to launch in six more communities soon. Pro-lifers will not be marching or gathering on North Dakota's Capitol steps this year. The North Dakota Right to Life says in the wake of violence across the country, including the assassination of Charlie Kirk, they cannot ensure everyone's safety. Instead, the march will be a rally held at the Bismarck Event Center. That rally will be held on Friday, October 10th. New Jersey held its March for Life late last week. Take a look at the size of that crowd that walked through the streets of Trenton. Students, parents, and families held signs, sang, and chanted as they made their way through a one-mile loop, starting and ending at the State House Annex. Taking the physical steps to promote life also comes in the form of a pilgrimage. Several people with an organization called Life, based out of the United Kingdom, traveled to Italy for a pilgrimage to Rome. EWTN News' Rome correspondent Zofia Schuback talked to those participating.
I was offered an abortion. It would be 31 years ago, I think, yeah, 30 years ago. And I just knew I couldn't. I just knew it wasn't right, but it was a shock at how easily and quickly it was offered.
I was groomed by a convicted paedophile, and once my family found out I was pregnant, I was kind of told that I had to have an abortion.
Personal stories of a culture of death. Pilgrims trekking 65 miles share their experiences with the pro-abortion narrative they've encountered.
That caused me to develop PTSD. I did receive counselling for that, which is why I wanted to support Life, because I know that they provide counselling for anybody that's got unprocessed feelings about abortion.
Now they are a witness to Life during a pilgrimage from Viterbo to St. Peter's Square. After flying into Italy from the United Kingdom, they spent 5 days walking to Vatican City. The UK-based charity called Life believes that an unexpected pregnancy isn't something women should have to fear or face alone. They are on the front lines of helping women choose life by offering counselling, housing and baby supplies.
The options are often not presented in the expectations that they should have a true range of options presented to them, which is everything.
When Julia found out there were health issues with her baby, abortion was immediately offered.
Because it was, all right, there's a problem with your baby. Do you want abortion? We can give you, not do we want one, we can give you one. The expectation was to have one.
But she chose Life, and she is thankful she did, despite the short life of her baby boy.
I was so pleased he had a life, and I think that's what, you know, you've just got to go with, why not have Life? Even if you know that someone's going to die, because it's special, it's wonderful.
For more than 50 years, the organisation has offered support and reminds women that there is always a better alternative to abortion.
There is support available, it's non-directional counselling and physical support. There are life houses which are established in order to allow women to come in to the house with their newborn babies. Very important work.
Rebecca says she was able to overcome the trauma of having an abortion at just 15 years old with the help of counselling and ultimately the love of Jesus Christ.
For me, becoming a Catholic was the most healing thing that I did to recover from abortion.
Rebecca converted to Catholicism 8 years ago, and this was her first time being in Rome since being baptised into the church.
Our Lord Jesus came in order so that we could receive healing. He didn't come for those that were perfect.
Several years later, she became pregnant again and kept her baby, a decision she said saved her.
And as soon as God put that baby into my arms, it wasn't just me anymore, it was me and him. And that made me pick myself up in order to be able to provide for him. Following having my son. I went to university, I got a degree in social science, I did teacher training, and it was all for him. You know, he kind of saved me in a way.
In Rome, Zofia Tubak for EWTN Pro-Life Weekly.
Coming up, a sweet summer treat is helping to raise awareness about the dignity of every life. And food, strollers, and diapers. A local event helps families in need. Stay with us. We'll be right back. The March for Life has officially announced the theme of the 2026 March, and it is Life is a Gift. March organizers say this year's theme is an invitation for people to rediscover the beauty and goodness of life and to cherish and celebrate life. We aired the entire march right here on EWTN. Be sure to tune in on Friday, January 23rd, 2026 for full coverage. A program in the Washington, D.C. area is helping single mothers in need by providing clothes, diapers, and even toys. And the best part? It's all for free. The initiative is called Nana's House. Throughout the year, they help lift up families with various donations and community events. This time, mothers were able to shop for clothing, shoes, strollers, and more at a local church. More than 100 moms and families participated. A homemade ice cream shop has helped create more than 160 jobs for people with special needs. Howdy Homemade Ice Cream is in 7 cities across the United States. I had the chance to speak with their president, Jeff Schuffelbein. He shared with me how Howdy has made an impact on the special needs community. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today. Please tell us about Howdy Homemade Ice Cream. What is so special about this ice cream shop?
This ice cream shop is unlike any other place I had ever visited. This is super premium ice cream at a shop that was started here in Dallas, Texas, and it's made with incredible ingredients. The flavors are amazing, but that's not what keeps bringing people back. It's that Howdy Homemade is a place that we employ special needs adults, and not just behind the scenes or making the ice cream, but we have folks with IDDs, intellectual and developmental disabilities, that open the store, run the store, manage the store, run the cash register. So we're really giving this front of house job opportunity to folks that might otherwise not get that.
That's incredible. Now, I saw that the Howdy mission is to reshape the way society views individuals with unique disabilities through our unwavering dedication to hiring, training, and commitment to leadership and advancement. How does Howdy live out this mission?
I see it every day in the way that we embrace that people have abilities. We just need to figure out how they can uniquely be used within our organization. I'm a new entrance into this group, so I'm catching up to the folks who started it. But I watch every day that instead of saying somebody can't do something or they'll never be able to do something, the question is, how can we help them to play their part in that piece of the job or in going and doing catering or even just representing our brand? So it's one-on-one, very intentional coaching, love, and care that then turns into dignified work, and our employees love it. They smile and say howdy to everyone walking in the door.
That's incredible. Now, you have 7 shops across the country. That's very impressive. Was franchising this ice cream shop always part of the long-term plan?
It was, and what we've actually found is we have a really neat moment in this 10-year history of Howdy to go deeper into the company-owned stores and really build out the strength of the brand really around Dallas-Fort Worth over the next couple of years and then throughout Texas, so that a few years from now, we'll be able to bring a better package to all the franchisees out there. Our franchisees are awesome. We want to provide even more opportunity to train people. So that's why the teams have grown tremendously on the corporate side, so we can build out this this model that someday may be way past ice cream. Maybe there's just the Howdy way, and we're doing all sorts of neat and incredible opportunities for people to have good employment.
How can those who are interested in bringing the Howdy mission to their hometown get in touch?
Yeah, check us out online, howdyhomemade.com. We would love to have that conversation.
Thank you, Jeff. That does it for this edition of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. Be sure to like and follow us on our social media channels. You can find us at EWTN Pro-Life on X, Facebook, and Instagram. and sign up for our newsletter, The Pro-Life Pulse, ewtn.com/pro-life. Remember, life is a gift. Your life is a gift. God bless.